podcast time, jump aboard. This podcast won a award from a site called The Poke. I don't know what that is. Breakfast XFM, it's Danny with Specs on XFM.
It's Danny.
It's Breakfast XFM.
It's Danny.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
Hi, how are you? Podcast 49 here from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Captain Danny Wallace. On today's important podcast...
What's happened to you? What's happened to your delivery style?
Nothing's happened to my delivery style.
You've jazzed it up a bit.
I'm not jazzed anything.
Yeah, after you won the award for Presenter of the Year at the Archivers, is that what it is?
No, I've not got
it
jazzy.
To your head?
It's not, there's nothing jazzy about it. I'm just
giddy on success.
Not giddy either. There's nothing giddy or jazzy.
Give us the old Danny back.
On the important broadcast, Willem Dafoe, ping pong, quiz face, and swear words like this.
I'm just going to mark the podcast.
That's so unlike me.
Mark it as explicit.
Yeah.
Give me the old Danny back.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
I hope you had a nice weekend, everybody. It's good weather for it. Good weather for a weekend. That's what I think. Skies are clear this morning. Sun was rising as I made my way to Leicester Square. It's going to be another good one. Highs of what today, Matt?
Highs of 15.
All right.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you.
No, that's good. I'm glad.
It's going to turn wet. I'm pretty confident about this prediction.
Okay.
So it's going to turn wet any time now.
Right, any time.
So really, it's going to be raining for most of the day.
So the last minute of what I was just saying
has
just been undermined entirely.
It's a lovely morning, though.
I was building people's confidence in the day. I was saying it's going to be great. People are waking up, stretching in bed, going, great, Wallace has got good news.
If you get up quick, because it's going to start raining about 8 o'clock. So
really?
Yeah, make the most of it.
Okay, well, enjoy the next 2 hours, everybody. Did you enjoy your weekend, Matthew Dyson?
Oh, you went
to Hop Farm, didn't you?
Yes, I did, yes. Yeah. You bought me a little picnic.
That I did.
Very nice of you.
Yeah, I did. I surprised Matt in the...
There's some boiled eggs.
Well, yes. I was planting the seeds in Matt's mind. I was saying, wouldn't it be great if a picnic? You know, I wish I bought you a picnic of maybe 2 miniature pork pies and a couple of boiled eggs.
You're just joking.
Yeah, and then I pulled it out of the bag, didn't I? Literally.
Yeah.
I literally pulled it out of the bag.
In a funny little lunchbox with a skull and crossbones on it.
Well, I thought it'd be nice for you to go to a festival with a little lunchbox, a little pirate lunchbox.
My baby daughter loved that egg. One of those eggs.
Well, I know that. You know how I know that? Because you sent me a text, a picture of your baby enjoying a boiled egg. But the thing is, the picture came through far more times than I think you meant to send it.
Oh, really?
I think there was some kind of technical error.
Right.
So I received a picture of a baby enjoying a boiled egg around 9 times.
Oh, really? Oh,
and I, you know, and don't get me wrong.
It's me a fortune.
Don't get me wrong. Any picture of a baby enjoying a boiled egg is fantastic, but 9 times. I mean, I started to think, what if my phone, for some reason, had been taken by the police or, you know, that weekend they're going, it's just standard check, everybody, standard check, we're checking everyone's mobiles right now.
Oh, nice.
And they go through mine and they find 9 pictures of a baby eating a boiled egg.
That's weird, it only says it was sent once on my phone.
Well, I'll show you 9 pictures of a baby eating a boiled egg.
Yeah, that's really weird.
And David, you went to see Stone Roses.
I did, I went up north to the Stone Roses. Wasn't quite as nice weekend up in Manchester.
I see.
It rained a lot.
Oh, did it?
But you were looking after me as well, weren't you, Danny? Because you gave Matt a picnic for Hop Farm.
I did.
Which was delightful.
Yeah.
And then I got a really nice text through just late on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, I forgot about that,
yeah.
With instructions.
So, yeah, helping us all out. I got a few bullet-pointed instructions for enjoying the Stone Roses on Saturday night, Matt, which included a ranger safety point in case you get lost.
Yeah.
If you're scared, ask a grown-up to point you to a policeman.
Point two.
Pack squash in case you get thirsty. Don't be afraid of asking your mum or dad to come and pick you up.
Yeah.
And then the final one, your body's nobody's but your own.
Yeah. Your body's nobody's body but yours.
Yeah.
That's the phrase I wanted Dave to remember for
And then
this,
it finishes with, stay safe, little man. It was really nice.
Wise words.
Yeah. Look at me looking after you. I'm the daddy. I'm the daddy.
XFM.
Good morning. You're with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. And I'll tell you what, you know, this show, we get the A-listers, don't we, Matt?
Yeah, we don't mess about.
We don't mess about. That's not what we do. We're straight to the point. And we've got another A-list star here today. One of the best actors in the world at the moment. It's Willem Dafoe, everybody! And you made it. You had to make a slightly kind of self-conscious face when I said that. You know,
it's the old story. I don't recognize myself when you give me that kind of introduction.
Is that right?
Yeah, I like the good actor part. But the A-list thing. I'm a little confused.
So you don't live the A-list lifestyle then, no?
I don't. I have a good life, but listen, I'm no different than anyone else. When I hear A-list, I think, swimming pool and Beverly Hills and all that kind of stuff.
But none of that for you?
Not always.
Where do you live in America?
I live in New York.
You live in New York? Of course you do.
You want my address?
No, we'll be fine. We'll be absolutely fine. Just your PIN number and your mother's maiden name will be absolutely fine at this
Stage. 3729.
We will be checking that out later. Seriousness, we do always do
lock me in the closet and empty out my account.
Listen, we're here to talk about your brand new film, The Hunter, which is fantastic.
Good.
It's made in association with Screen Australia. And I imagine when you get, say, an email through or a script and you know it's Screen Australia is going to be in some way involved, it must be a dream because you're thinking it's going to be golden beaches and the sands and all that kind of stuff. And then you realise that you're going to Tasmania.
Actually, pretty beautiful. Yeah. No golden beaches, no sand, or maybe there is, but that's not where we were shooting.
No, absolutely.
But it was a great adventure, and Tasmania is a fantastic place.
Well, absolutely. Now, it's all about, as you'd imagine, with a film called The Hunter. You are a guy called Martin. You're kind of a mercenary, and you've been charged with the mission of finding a Tasmanian tiger.
Right.
And you don't even know, no one knows, if there even is one. There are rumours out there, that kind of thing. So you are hunting almost a mythical creature.
That's true.
And you're out there in the wilds, and you're kind of almost questioning your own life and your own existence as you're out there.
Yeah, it's you know, it's got action adventure parts to it, and it's got suspense quality too. But in the end, it's really the story of this guy's transformation. He starts out the movie very cut off and methodical and misanthropic, and by the end, something's reawakened in him.
It's
a slow burn.
I was going to say, it almost reflects the landscape of Tasmania in a sense. It's wide and...
Well done. You should be a film critic.
Really? Check me out. But it's wide and empty's the wrong word, but it's the space around it and the space to breathe. And you're there, you're almost sort of humanized by this process as well.
It's true.
Of being out there.
It's true.
This morning, by the way, you are rocking a handlebar moustache.
I'm growing it for something else. It's a little silly, but it'll kick in.
No,
soon.
It's terrific. Absolutely. I wish I could force one out now.
I think we call this a Fu Manchu.
Fu Manchu. Oh, now is that a hint at something? Is everything a clue with one of the phone? I don't know. Are you allowed to say what the handlebar moustache is for? We don't mind if it's not.
Let's wait.
Okay. Let's wait. All right, we will. Wow. What's going on? What is going on in the world? Jeremy Clarkson has admitted he loves and indeed admires the French.
Oh, wow.
Exactly. Look at Matt's face.
Around, isn't it?
What the heck's going on? I don't know where I am anymore. Is left still left? Is right? You know what? He's insulted the Scots, the Germans, the Indians, the Mexicans and other nationalities in the past, it says here. But, he said, how can you not like France? So he's not even saying, I quite like it. He's going, how can you not like it, huh? He enjoys fast trains. He likes nuclear power stations. He enjoys cheese and wine and snails. And he mainly likes the fact that in France, they don't say email, right? They say courriel. And he likes that because only France doesn't call it an email. What's going on in the world when Jeremy Clarkson likes our closest neighbours?
Yeah.
When he's sticking up for someone who's not British, that's a weird thing.
Yeah, he's not so angry anymore. What's happened?
I don't know what's happened. I don't know what's happened. I had so many things I could have said there, but many of them legally dubious to do with Clarkson. I promised you that I would keep you updated as to who won the Shed of the Year competition. Remember when Vic Reeves was in here?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Promoting sheds.
We went big on it.
That was an unusual day, wasn't it?
Yes.
What's Vic Reeves in for? Just talk about sheds, fair enough. So the man who converts his garden shed into a working pub has won the 2012 Shed of the Year competition.
Quite right.
Right.
Good entry.
And you'll like this. Mr. Plumridge joked that he shed a tear when he heard.
Nice.
That's wonderful.
XFM.
But first, a quick apology, ladies and gents. Last week on the important broadcast, I suppose there were high spirits, weren't there? There were high spirits, which led Matt Dyson, in a rare moment of unprofessionalism, to use the phrase, blimmin' dumbos. And we realised that a lot of people, they can be on the school run, You can be there with your son or your daughter next to you, or you can be there with your mummy or dad next to you, and no one quite knows what to say in a situation like that. It was wrong of Matt to use a phrase like that, and we'd like to apologise.
Yeah, I was overtired and just showing off.
You were just showing off in front of your friends, weren't you? Yeah. He won't do that again. It did lead us into... Well, I guess in the spirit of openness, we should just play the clip and apologise for it afterwards. What's the big rush, you bozos? Ooh. It's from Anonymous.
Jackwagons.
What a bunch of jackwagons. Yeah. These blinking ninny hammers, honestly. Bunch of noodle bears. What a bunch of noodle bears. Honestly. And I don't want to be too offended, and I apologise if that offends anyone. You're a bunch of noodle bears.
So selfish.
You are a buffoon-faced needle waxer.
Bunch of dingbats.
What a bunch of dingbats. Again, we are very, very sorry, and if that was an uncomfortable moment for you to hear, then all we can do is apologise and say that we are moving forward with a new scheme where we're going to have someone in the room next door who is going to immediately dub nonsensical words over swear words like we've just heard.
Okay.
So if we were to say, you know, like, you know, needle waxer, then they would come in immediately with something that doesn't make any sense. A bit like in, have you seen this? You know, Bad Boys 2.
Right, yeah.
A lot of swear words, right? Mm. Will Smith, Martin Lawrence, a lot of swear words going on. But they've been very clever about it, and you would never know. You would never know. Unless you knew that film really well, you would never know that they dubbed in other words over the swear words. Here's an example.
Blue power, motherfuckers!
Who shot you in the can? Somebody shot you in the can!
I ain't saying I shot you in the can. I
smell my can burning.
My can is what's out of proportion, Mike.
That mother lover! Oh, that one puckered up my soul.
Shoot! Big mother lovers.
Y'all a bunch of filthy mother lovers.
Bunch of little lying, violent mother lovers.
Your mother lovers!
So you'd never know, you know? You hear people use phrases like, that one puckered up my soul all the time, don't you? You hear that, it just happens all the time. And it got me thinking that that is what we should do from now on. But also reminded me of the greatest one ever. You'll be, sorry, you'll be familiar, I get emotional. You'll be familiar, of course, with the snakes on a plane.
Oh, yeah.
And there is one line in particular where he goes, oh, I've had it with these such and such snakes on this such and such plane. Now, I would have added in the words such and such. They were much more clever than me. Here is that line.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these monkey-fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane! Everybody strap in! About to open some freaking windows.
Oh, I think we've all had it with those monkey fighting snakes, and we've all been on a Monday to Friday plane.
XFM.
You're back with the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace, and our guest this morning is the marvellous Willem Dafoe. And Willem, one of the things I've very much enjoyed this morning is I've never had someone tell me the things I'm saying are true as much as you have said to me today.
I'm a pretty agreeable kind of guy.
It's true.
It's easier that way.
Goes down easier.
Yeah, exactly. So we were just talking, and you were saying that you're off to Louisiana in a month or so.
Right.
I told you to cancel those plans. I noticed that while we were playing the music, you made no effort to do that whatsoever. Your phone remains in your pocket. It's almost like you didn't take that seriously.
Well, tell me. Give me more.
All right. We are going to play Snap My Pitch Up. We have, along with the listeners, developed several new ideas, particularly for you, which could be TV, theatre, film, any of the above, that you are welcome, subject to contract, to sign up for. Let's play Snap My Pitch Up.
Snap My Pitch Up.
Dave Masterman, what is your pitch for Willem Dafoe?
Here's my pitch.
Yes.
Willem Dafoe, thrill 'em with snow.
That's nice.
Willem Dafoe is hired by the Blue Mountain Ski Resort in Banff, Canada, to entertain skiers at the top of various mountains using only snow.
Oof.
Snow fights, igloos, snowmen, whatever you fancy whilst enjoying your winter break, Willem is there to entertain.
It's lovely.
But only between the hours of 12 and 2 p.m.
Okay.
This fun-filled vehicle may or may not be filmed.
I see. So this is you very much working with the natural environment, the environment around you.
Yeah.
Familiar with snow? Do you enjoy snow?
Hey, I grew up in snow. But my blood is thinned. I'm a Mediterranean type now.
I don't like
the cold.
Fair enough. I'm sensing this
but
is a
Banff, if I recall properly. Okay. Beautiful.
All right, okay. But just appreciating the location and verifying he is straight is in no way committing to this project, I must be clear. Here's my
one. We'll scout it. We'll scout it and see.
Mine is called Uh-Oh, It's Willem Dafoe.
Do this one. It sounds good already.
What have you done this time? Willem Dafoe knows, and he's going to hold you accountable from minor traffic violations to full-scale post office armed robberies. If you see human angel Willem Dafoe, it's a Dafoe-no. In the spirit of America's best television programs, Dog the Bounty Hunter and Steven Seagal Lawman, Uh-Oh, It's Willem Dafoe sees Willem Dafoe simply guilt-tripping strangers by appearing hauntingly at their windows or places of work and mouthing, I know, and I'm Willem Dafoe. Uh-Oh, It's Willem Dafoe is also not for broadcast. It's just for fun.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Are handcuffs involved?
They can be. They can be. They absolutely can be. Although I didn't like the way he was looking at me when he said that. Uh-Oh, It's Willem Dafoe. Are you in?
Maybe.
Oh, it's a maybe. Oh, this never happens. We'll
have lunch.
Oh, right. Well, in that case, I should just go to some of the listener ones. I'll just do the titles here and you can tell me if anything.
I like the title, though.
Well, what about Willem Dafoe's Yo-Yo Road Show?
Stupid.
Traveling.
Hate it.
Okay.
Next.
Friend or Dafoe?
I've heard it.
All right.
Next.
Willem, Killem, Chillem, and Billem.
I like this.
All right, good. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, it's you dealing with domestic pest control issues, smoking a pipe with the householder, then sending them a hefty invoice. Chris is in the lead so far.
This is good, but it's not a whole movie. It's like an episode in a TV, and I'm not really interested in TV. So.
Really? TV's out?
TV's out. Everybody loves TV now. I'm not moving.
The arrogance of the man is
No, I've got other things to do. That's all.
Willem's Films, this is all about the history of Irish cinema.
I like this.
All right.
Love the Irish in general.
We had many others. We had Will Wishes, Willem's Defoe, Dafoe and Dafoe are Duffos, involving you and the Tottenham Hotspur striker Jermaine Dafoe as neighbours. Well, listen, we will get the contracts drawn up and we'll talk to your agents and all that kind
Sounds
of stuff.
Sounds good.
Good. Willem Dafoe, thank you so much for coming by. The brand new film.
That's it?
That's it, I'm afraid, yeah. I must ask you to leave, sir. We are
weather. After a bright start, it's going to be grey and wet for the rest of the day with a high of 15 degrees.
You actually were more specific about that an hour and a half ago. You said it would be raining at 8.
Yeah, by 8.
Well, by 8.
Yeah.
So it could be any time in the next...
Not exactly at 8 o'clock.
At 8. No, well, you said at 8.
By 8.
I'm sure we can find the clip.
You'll be wet by 8.
You'll be wet by 8, everybody.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
A Scottish lecturer by the name of Ian Kinnaird, right? He's 72. He's 72. And he recently took a DNA test, right, to find out where his ancestors came from, okay?
Yeah.
Want to find that out. Anyway, guess what it turns out that Ian Kinnaird is?
Go on.
He's pretty much the grandfather of everyone in Britain. I mean, that's, you know, when you find out those results... You're like, how much is this going to cost me? You know, suddenly, I mean, I don't know if we get to split his will between everyone. But anyway, right, so he's directly descended from the first woman on Earth.
Whoa.
It says he lived 190,000 years ago. So he's got this pure set of genes that go right the way back. He's a thoroughbred, they're saying here, and could be described as the grandson of Eve or the grandfather of everyone in Britain.
Whoa.
The poor guy. That's a lot of responsibility now, suddenly, isn't it? Yeah. This one guy. Still, at least, you know, we've got Ian, haven't we? We've always got Ian. And it got me thinking about, you know, granddads and your own granddads. And I mean, you sort of looked like you might have something to say there about granddads.
Yeah, there was a funny story with my grandpa a couple of years ago, and he was just about to embrace technology. And he's really
That's
up
a brilliant
to speed
moment.
Now.
What was the first thing he bought, technologically?
Well, this is it. He bought himself a computer.
Oof.
And he called me and says, Dave, I can't quite get the compact disc to work within the computer.
Right.
Anyway, I went round. It turns out he'd broken the whole computer just by jamming the CD into a little bit of a lip at the front, which wasn't actually... it couldn't even accommodate CD-ROMs. And he'd just gone to try and jam it in, and he broke his whole computer.
That's a granddad story, isn't it?
It is. But now he's on Facebook, and he's doing it all these
your
days.
Your granddad's on Facebook?
Yes, he is, yeah.
Your granddad's on Facebook?
Yeah.
It's going to turn out your granddad's like 53 or something.
No,
isn't
he? He's not. He celebrated his 85th birthday just this weekend.
Really? And he's on Facebook?
He is.
That's pretty good going. You got any granddad stories?
Well, my granddad, Fred, he was a wireless operator in the Navy during the war, don't you know?
know. He used to pronounce words quite strangely. He had a problem with people's surnames. And when Paul Gascoigne was massive in, like, Italia 90...
Oh, yeah.
He used to talk to me about, oh, I love this guy. Who's this guy? Garza. I love Garza. Isn't he great?
That's very nice. Garza.
Garza. He called Gaza Garza.
So was he posh or just a fan of the
Garza
suit?
No, he just couldn't say words properly.
I see. Fair enough. XFM. A Southern Californian couple, right? I think they've got quite a lot of time on their hands. They've passed the halfway mark in their quest to visit Disneyland in Orange County every day this year. So far, every single day from January 1st, they have gone to Disneyland. Jeff Wright said, we joke around that we're here more than the cast members are. No, you are. You are. Because they get days off, don't they? A lot of them. Not these two. So Tonya, the wife, came up with the idea of becoming what they call Magic Kingdom marathoners. And they've got an annual pass, so they can go there every single day. Now, they can go there every single day. That doesn't mean they should go there every single day. Right. But they're keeping it exciting. He still hasn't eaten, Jeff, at all the restaurants. So it's going to be a crazy end of year, isn't it? Crazy end of year. I was thinking about where I would go every day. If I had to go somewhere every single day, where would I go? I was thinking, I should say somewhere like the Natural History Museum or Science Museum. Just try and learn it all. Probably just be the pub, wouldn't it? It's one of those things. Where would you go every
Simple.
Day, Matt? I haven't prepared you for this, but where would you, if you had to? Which springs to mind? And please don't say somewhere to do with Peri Peri.
Yeah.
Oh, that's obviously what you do. Yeah. I mean, you pretty much do that anyway. I love that. You're mocking...
I pretty much do that anyway.
You're mocking these people from Southern California whose lives are empty and have to go to Disneyland every single day. And you're mocking them. And we all know where you go every single day. And I'm not saying it out loud. Not helping you any help there.
XFM.
We are going to play Quiz Face. I believe you are familiar with Quiz Face. You should know the rules by now, of course. So let's get quizzical.
Quiz Dancer.
So, Mark, this week's Quiz Face is Quiz Dancer. Now, I will be invoking a variety of dances, using nothing but my own moves and the theatre of the mind to bring them to life. Now, Mark, these are my own private moves, available for the very first time to the public, so this is quite an historic day. The trick, Mark, if I can give you any tips, is to ignore the music and concentrate instead on the moves. Are you ready, Mark?
Yeah.
Then let's do it.
May I have the first dance?
So, Mark, I'm moving rhythmically, Mark. You may have seen me doing this during one of my recent street dance battles on the streets of LA. What I'm doing, Mark, is I'm focusing on sharp, energetic movements of the upper body now. I'm keeping the trunk of my personage static while quickly rotating first my hips and now my elbows. There you go, Mark. I was your tiny what? Dancer. But what, Mark, what was I dancing?
Body popping.
You're saying body popping. Matt, you witnessed that dance. What's the answer?
I'm afraid Danny was crunking.
Yeah. It was a cracking crunk. I was crunking, Mark. I was crunking. Never mind. I still think you're more than prepared for this jelly. Let's do the next dance.
Can I cut in?
Okay, Mark. This one's a lot of fun. I do enjoy this one. What I'm doing is I'm crossing my left foot just over my right foot now. Just imagine that. Picture that, if you will. Now I'm kicking out with my left foot. Poker steps. Now I'm going backwards, backwards, backwards. Left, right, left. I'm crossing my right foot over my left. This is really wonderful. And finally, little kick with my right foot. Quite a political dance in the end. I didn't mean for it to get so issues-led. I've just got the papers in front of me, and while I was dancing, I got a couple of headlines caught my thing. I'm sorry about that. But what was I dancing there, Mark? What was I dancing?
The river dance.
You what? The river dance?
Yeah.
Oh. Matt?
No, Danny was dancing the Cotton Eye Joe.
I was, yes, which I last performed at the... I last performed that, of course, Mark, at the funeral of a close friend.
Save the last dance for me.
Last dance now, Mark. And while this is no place for propaganda, I want your honest opinion, please, Mark. Your opinion on my dancing. What do you think of my dancing, Mark?
I thought it was amazing, Danny.
Thanks, Mark. Very kind of you to say so. I do value your independent opinion. It's always nice to hear a little bit of feedback and praise here on XFM. So let's just...
You're an amazing breakfast show presenter. Oh. All of us many of us listeners think so.
That's very nice of you, Mark. But come on now, let's just concentrate on you winning those tickets. So, here we go. The final dance. Mark, I'm wiggling my bottom. I'm wiggling my bottom at you, Mark. Waving the bottom draws attention to it, even more than simply pushing it out. It's an enticing move. Wiggling the hips, as I'm doing now, can cause loose muscle on the buttocks to oscillate even more. My hands are behind my back, making me rather vulnerable at this stage. I'm either relaxed or this is a defiant power display. Now I'm slapping my thighs, which can be seen as a sort of self-motivational G-up. I look like I'm having the time of my life, Mark, but this is actually a desperate subliminal plea, which will in the end put off more people than it will entice. What was the dance?
That's the booty dance.
You're saying the booty dance, Matt?
We can accept that answer. It's absolutely right. He was doing the booty shake.
Yeah, it was the booty shake. That's excellent work, which means you get to answer our final question. For the tickets, complete the well-known phrase, we are...
XFM.
Hey! There you go. Mark, you've done it. You are going to Strummer of Love. And to celebrate that, here we go, everybody. This is for Mark. Hey!
The greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
We're very sorry to bring you that news this morning. The weather, as predicted by Matt Dyson at, well, in 4 minutes now, a downpour of epic proportions, according to Matt. It's about to get biblical, everybody. And XFM is the only station that will be with you, reporting on this right up until 8, when the cataclysm begins. Precipitation like you've never seen before. And all from exactly 8 a.m. Is that right, Matt? Exactly 8 a.m. So that's 3.5 minutes now. 3.5 minutes to go. Do make sure you are somewhere safe and dry in 3.5 minutes. Still looking quite light out there, isn't it, Matt? It's unusual, strange situation. While you were out doing whatever it was you were doing, Matt, we got a report in from Rob in Islington.
Danny, Rob here, Rob in Islington. I can see a few spots of rain on my windscreen. I can definitely see a few spots of rain on my windscreen.
Your reaction to that, Matt?
That's great news.
It is. It's good news for you, isn't it? Rob did get in touch 2 minutes later.
Oh, Danny, false alarm. The guy in front's using his windscreen washers. Sorry.
And that was absolutely true. Listen, we stand behind you, Matt Dyson, whatever happens, okay? We stand behind you. So we have activated the mobile unit. We just got it out of the cupboard. Work experience, Steve, you're in Leicester Square. Are you there?
Hello, Danny, I'm out here now.
Good. Can you just give me the situation on the ground, please?
Yeah, I mean, the sky's looking pretty grey.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought I saw a lone drop fall.
Yeah.
But I've yet to go over and investigate.
Okay, we'll let you go and investigate that in a moment or two. Listen, it's 2.5 minutes until the massive downpour. everyone out there, I mean, do you think they're aware of this?
I mean, there's very few people around. Most people are, you know, hiding under umbrellas or have taken shelter.
Right. Well, of course, yeah. I don't believe you. Steve, you need to warn people, so I need you to start shouting maniacally right now in Leicester Square. Just shout, warning, warning, there will be rain at 8 a.m. Warning, warning.
Warning, warning. There will be rain at 8 a.m.
And again, just do it once.
Warning, warning. There'll be rain at 8 a.m.
Okay, and just start to repeat that. Just keep that going, please. There's only a minute and a half left, Steve. Will you just keep repeating that, please?
For the full
Yes,
minute?
Do it now.
Warning, warning. There'll be rain at 8 a.m.
Keep going.
Warning, warning. There'll be... Do I really have to keep this?
Yes!
Warning, warning. There'll be rain at 8 a.m.
Okay, he's going to keep doing that. If you
warning.
Are...
Yeah. Warning.
XFM. You remember yesterday on the important broadcast, I played you a clip of the film actor Samuel L. Jackson. And it was from the famous film Snakes on a Plane. Mm. And it's because, you know, when they put it out, something, you know, especially someone like Samuel L. Jackson, who he has some blinds, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, he has some blinds. So when it goes out, when it goes out pre-Watershed, a film like that, they have to be quite inventive with the language. I'll play you a clip and see if you can, obviously, you know, I'm not going to give you any hints as to what he might be saying, but you're probably, you know, you're intelligent people, you understand. Here we go.
Enough is enough! I have had it with these monkey-fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane!
Had it with these monkey-fighting snakes. There were no monkeys in Snakes in a Plane.
There were.
I don't know how that got past the script stage. If I'd read that as a Hollywood exec, I'd have gone, this seems to have some quite serious plot holes in it. But it got me thinking, and we all, you know, we say ninny hammer on the show, don't we? We call each other nits and things like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, perhaps if you're listening and you have a small child, or perhaps you work in a school, or perhaps you're heavily religious, it's very difficult for you to swear, you know? So you have to come up with quite inventive ways of doing it. So we say ninny hammer. I wonder, 83936, what are your swear word replacements? How do you make the world a better place by removing the bad words and instead being quite inventive with them? I mean, we say, I would look at you, Dave, I'd say, you're a ninny hammer, you're a blinking ninny hammer. What would you say?
Whoa, why are you being such a cotton twiddler?
Oh, boom, in my face, Matt. What
you big sweaty goose nodule.
What? That's out of, you're a lamp-faced fridge magnet.
Hey, come on now, you truffle chops.
Go bother a dog moomin' boobs.
Oh, this shinty McGinty has got to stop.
You're both button boppers.
I'm sick
stop
of your
it.
Bull nonsense, you jack wagon.
Flambéed scooter.
Go sit on a brick, Matt. Go sit on a brick.
Just a grated turmeric basin.
Well, you're an eight-toed lip salve, yeah? You're a stink tickler. No one's
interested
in you.
Oi, you whiz-wangler, stop it.
This is all a bunch of Maureen's. XFM.
Quiz face.
I'm confirmed, listener Mark, and I just listened to a vulnerable Danny Wallace wiggle his bottom at me. I'm fairly sure I'm now pregnant. Thank you, Danny Wallace. I'll be your baby mama any day. The last of that dancing, I must insist on strictly limited child visitation rights.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
XFM. I've asked you this morning to tell us about your granddad, right? The weird things about your granddad. Everyone's got something odd about their granddad. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. That sets the right thing, isn't it? It's all because of Ian Kinnaird, who's 72, who's got a genetic marker inherited from his mother that traces his ancestry to a lineage that's not been found before in Western Europe, right? So he's a thoroughbred. He's a thoroughbred human male. And they're describing him as the grandfather of everyone in Britain. Man, it's quite a thing to find out, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's going to have a lot of presents to buy this Christmas.
Yeah, Christmas can cost him a fortune.
Poor fella. That's a lot of £5 postal orders to send out, isn't it?
A lot of people sat on his knee.
A lot of people. His knee is going to...
He's going to be dead. He's going to have a dead leg.
All right, good. I'm glad you used the word leg there. So, we asked you about your granddads. And, Matt, why don't you fill us in on some of the older generation of XFM listeners?
Well, let's start with Yorkshire Grey.
Okay.
He had the tightest granddad in history.
He was tight.
Says Yorkshire Grey. He says, he used to make my grandma save water from a boiled kettle in a flask rather than reboil the same water twice.
Yeah.
Slowly empty the bath water into the toilet cistern to save water. And he never watched the TV or turned on the heating, despite having a new TV and central heating system fitted. He died rich but cold, and now my grandma's got enough dough to leave the country and live out the rest of her days in Cyprus, happily boiling kettles and watching endless TV. She doesn't understand.
What a lovely way to get back at a man as well, just to sit there, just pointlessly flicking the kettle on and off all day, just watching the steam rise, refilling it. Confirmed listener Rachel says, my granddad has just finished retiling the roof of his shed. He's 92. We told him not to, but he doesn't listen. That's the good thing about granddads, they don't listen. My granddad was attacked by a bull, says Gareth, after fending off cows with a rock. What a magical image. What a lovely image. It all ended fine. What else?
Bruce the Boffin Helper. My granddad William was a large Scottish man.
Oh, yeah.
Hardly surprising when he had a fry-up every morning, saved a few sausages for elevenses, had a cooked lunch, dinner, and a fish supper. Scottish for fish and chips, he says, later on in the day. He lived till 86.
Yeah. Can I just say, this is the least high-octane show we've ever done. We're just reading stuff out about granddads, listening to the Hovis music. Elsa, save this. Tell us about your granddad.
My granddad has a Litsoft collection, including one from the body shop, which is orange-flavoured, orange-coloured, and has orange shiny glitter in it.
Oh, nice! The orange shiny glitter of Grandad's lips. A sentence I've never said before. My Grandad's got all his own teeth at 86, mainly because he's nicked so much brandy in his lifetime. That's Dave from Southend-on-Sea. Oh, the classic Grandad drink. What else, Matt?
Hannah in Dulwich says, my granddad always thought he knew everything about music and once told my mum when she was younger that the Rolling Stones wouldn't last long. How wrong he was.
Exactly.
Being able to live it down.
A terrifying granddad from Paul in Putney. According to my mum, when my granddad was still alive, he once took a pair of her shoes because he thought they were inappropriate and burned them in the back garden. What a lovely memory. He also used to regularly turn up at clubs in his police car to get her. And Matt, what is yours?
My granddad, after being told he was too blind to drive, got a pair of roller skates to get to his local quicker.
That's good, isn't it? Amazing. That's great. Just a granddad on skates. How did he get back? Granddad's on skates will never not be a lovely image to leave you with.
XFM.
Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace, and regular listeners, Matt and Dave, may be aware that I own the largest private collection of black and white photographs of East Anglian table tennis teams of the late 1950s and early 1960s.
Yes. Yeah.
So we know I'm a ping pong fan, yeah. Right? You know that's happening. So when I heard there was a documentary called Ping Pong, right, about the kind of the senior Olympics and brave people going out there and playing this high-speed game when they're in their 70s, 80s, 90s, some people in their hundreds, I had to see it. I watched it. I loved it. One of the stars of the film is here. Terry Donnan, everybody. Yay. He's here. How are you, sir?
Okay this morning.
Good. I'm pleased. You're a bit of a hero and a legend in my house. I've been wanting to watch Ping Pong for ages, so much so that a year ago when I found out there's a company making it, I sent them a message saying I have to see this film. And I watched it. I watched it last night. And I watched you being incredible at table tennis. How old are you now, if I can ask you?
83. Going on 41.
Going on, yeah, younger than that, I would say. It's a story. I mean, there are lots of ping pong players involved in the documentary, but it's largely and ostensibly about you and a good friend of yours, Les, who are just fantastic at ping pong. Or is it table tennis? What do I call it? Table
tennis? Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter to you?
Doesn't matter to me.
How long has this passion for ping pong burned within you?
Since I was 27.
27. And from there, you just kept on going and going and going to the point where, I mean, how many medals would you say you've won in your career so far, in your ping pong career?
Wouldn't count.
There are so many. There's footage of you there and talking about all these things. And then, you know, recently you went to China.
Yes.
Tell me about that. It was the Senior Olympics.
Yes, I lost in the quarterfinals in the singles. And then we played in the doubles. And myself and a man called Fritz Rosler, German, won the gold.
Gold medalist, everybody, in the studio. But you're from Stockport, of course.
That's right.
Well, so is Dave, producer Dave.
I am.
Who never stops talking about the Hat Museum. Tell me, Terry, please, is the Hat Museum, I mean, is it as wonderful and magical as Dave will have us believe every single day?
Yes.
It is? Oh, for goodness sakes.
It is known all over the world.
Yeah. What is it with you people and hats? What are you so obsessed with hats?
I can't wear a hat.
Really?
But
what do you mean you can't wear a hat?
They're all top hats that were made for royalty and went everywhere in the world.
Right.
They're absolutely beautiful.
Well, this is the Breakfast Show home of information about the Stockport Hat Museum, it seems. We just can't get away from it. And Matt, being, you know, into your sports and stuff like that, you had a few questions for Terry about
technique. I was just wondering about your service technique. A lot of people go for the high throw serve. Do you use that, or are you just a simple knock it down the other end?
No, I do a chop serve.
There's the chop serve, Matt. That's what happens there.
On my forearm.
So that was the technique at play when Terry took on Dave. And let's cross now, not live, but pre-recorded, to a little bit ago when we went outside to Leicester Square to the ping pong table, which had inexplicably appeared there, but seems now to have been there for a reason. Here it is.
So you join us here in the heart of London's West End in Leicester Square for this showdown of two of Stockport's finest sons. Terry Donlan, look at him in action there. He's up against the young pretender. Dave Masterman against Terry. The Stockport grudge match. Here we go. Look at the serve from Terry there. Oh, it's hit the net but stayed in. Oh, he completely threw young Dave. Oh, unbelievable scenes. Oh, cheeky little backhand again from Terry. Oh, what a rally. Champagne ping pong. Oh! And Terry takes it. Well, I never. The Battle of Stockport is won by Terry Donlan.
So there you go. That happened just before. Our guest this morning has been the wonderful Terry Donlan, who trashed his fellow Stockportian, Dave Masterman. He's in his 80s and he showed a whippersnapper like you. Just back to the Hat Museum with you. Do something more. Terry, thank you so much for joining us.
XFM.
FM. Weather.
Well, well, well. 8 o'clock is
well,
coming.
Well, well, well.
London's a pretty big place to predict weather for.
3 minutes
admit.
Past, I'm looking outside. I mean, let's just cross quickly to see Work Experience Steve. Work Experience Steve, are you still there?
Hi, Danny, I'm still out here.
You should still be shouting, Steve. Yeah. Why aren't you shouting?
Well, because, you know, it's 8 o'clock, but, yeah. I mean, I'm looking around.
This feels like that Harold Camping guy who predicted the end of the world, doesn't it? And then it's like he got the maths wrong. But I'll tell you what, Steve, Matt did not get the maths wrong. Because, according to Stuart on the M25, at 7:59, the heavens opened and the rain began to fall.
Yes,
at 7:59, Matt. Walthamstow Brad says, I'm buying sandbags because Matt was right. I've got rain.
Oh.
It's getting harder and harder. Battersea. It's raining. It started raining in Bovingdon, Matt.
Oh, the tank
it's
museum.
Spitting. It's spitting in Finsbury Park.
Yes.
Cooper on the M25 says, just got wet. They're wet in Epsom. They're wet in Balham. They're wet. At least it's light drizzle anyway on the western sector
still
of the
counts.
M25.
Still counts.
It still counts. And it's raining, Matt. It's raining in East London. Work Experience Steve, get to safety. The rest of you. Matt Dyson was right.
XFM.
So, here on the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace, we've been asking you for your words of exasperation, and almost immediately I realised what a bad idea this was.
Yeah.
Because we really almost sort of opened a can of worms. We really created a rod for our own bat there. A lot of research had to go into this, because we suddenly realised, and you know, we trust you. We trust you entirely, okay? We trust you. It's just that for every 100 teacher Ellies or Polish Marchins, there's always going to be one Joe from Dartford, isn't there? That's the rule we go by here on XFM. So always going to be a Joe from Dartford. Yeah. Someone trying to like sneak something past to get on the radio. But amazingly, you haven't. So we've been like researching some of these just in case, including Shigger Digger from Brendan, which I just immediately thought, that sounds like it might be something, I don't know, some slang somewhere. But we looked it up, and what is it?
Well, you've got to go to Urban Dictionary for these kind of things. But it's just something that the rapper Twista uses when spitting his stuff, apparently.
Yeah, go on. Examples?
E.g., Shigger Digger Bathroom, Shigger Digger Chat Room, Shigger Digger Sassoon, Shigger Digger Cancun.
I've never heard of this guy. Oh, Dyson, I think we found a new thing for you, haven't we? The Shigger Digger. Oh, Matt Shigger Digger Dyson. Yeah. That sounds great.
It does sound good, doesn't
get
it?
Get me Shigger Digger Dyson.
Yeah.
Although, of course, it is a word of exasperation, so we should move on. Alex in St. Albans, when he gets angry, oh, goodness me, you know what he shouts? Monkey Pope! That's what he shouts, Monkey Pope! That's great, and who knows, maybe one day there will be a Monkey Pope.
Yes, confirm listener Brad. Trouser cough, dilly malted hand wrangler.
Wow,
that's a good one.
Oh, the trouser cough, that's good. Teacher Alan at Enfield, obviously he works with children, so if he wants to convey his frustration, but also bring about a slightly sibilant effect, he says. He says he might call a pupil a silly sausage, which is just a lovely thing. Very nice, but secretly, in his mind, it means something else.
Oh, Terry in Rystip says, I say guppy oshly when the Polish lads on site have also adapted translating stupid donkey, so making the site a swear-free place.
Oh, well done, Terry, for honestly.
Stupid donkey in Polish.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, is that what it means?
So it's the, I hope so.
It's the it does, it does. Wally Blue Car. Wally Blue Car. That's
nice.
What a lady says when she's been cut up by another driver and the kids are in a Wally Blue Car. Shish Kebab. Oh, for flying snakes, says Abby, who is a teacher. A lot of teachers. This is basically just for teachers, isn't it?
Yeah.
In fact, Ian from Tottenham says, when I was doing my PGCSE at my placement school, I found that I just used to swear to myself whilst walking alone through the playground, through the hall to the photocopier, or just by myself in the PE cupboard. I just missed some of my favourite words. Well, don't worry about it, Ian. You know, Wally Blue Car, that's for you. Overflying snakes, you can do that as well. All above board. What about you, Matt?
Quite a lot of Mother Hubbard's. Hippocrocker-pigs.
Hippocrocker-pigs? Hippocrocker-pigs is right up there with Sugar Digger.
Yeah, yeah.
Hippocrocker-pigs. Mrs. M in North 8 says, my mum used to say, oh, hell's bells in a bucket of whitewash. Which is lovely. Tony from Hornchurch, in front of his two young sons, he just uses the words, oh, Wally Bungle. Which is great. We've got fly-by-night chicken as well. I'm not really sure what that one's referencing, but they're all marvellous anyway. Thank you so much for your polite words of exasperation. And now I imagine in some corner here at Global Radio, someone in charge of on-air content is breathing a sigh of relief as we move past this. Hell's bells in a bucket of whitewash, you Wally Blue Car.
XFM.
Here in the building, we share a floor, don't we, with a few other radio stations. A few other radio stations of choice. Yeah. Capital down the end. I've just popped into the bathroom facilities. Whenever I walk in there, there always seems to be a man from Capital FM, a different one almost every time, checking himself out in the mirror. You only walk in and there's someone just going, "This is me.
Yeah.
This is me. And they're not washing their hands, they're just looking, they're just staring. Yeah. And then you go to the kitchenette and there's always someone from XFM, and this is the difference. Capital, they stare at themselves in the mirror. XFM, they're just hunched over the kitchenette counter, staring, sallow-eyed, as some budget porridge revolves in a microwave, just waiting for the ding. That's the difference between the networks.
XFM.
An historic day for the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace, concerning, the weather reports. That was an exciting thing. So I assume that Matt's good news this morning will be weather-based. Let's find out. Let's get the good news in the studio. Plenty of it coming in already to 83936. But let's see what's making M.R. Dyson, that's right, he is qualified, happy today.
Good news, guys. After months of constant mockery and derision aimed at the validity of my weather predictions, I pulled back some credibility this morning. To the minute, predicting rain in most of London and the Greater London area. Yeah, sure, I went out on a limb, but using my meteorological nous, I predicted precipitation with incredible accuracy. Flurry of texts, people all over London agreeing with me. Even now, Doug in Sidcup says it's getting moist in Camberwell. Yeah. It's raining in Datchet. Mm. Confirmed listener Stuart called the prediction spooky.
Yes.
I hope we can now put the whole hotter than Ibiza debacle to bed and have faith in my predictions once again.
Well, Matt Dyson, everybody.
Well done, Matt.
It was the remarkable specificity of the report this morning. Just tossing it in casually and, you know, just after 6 a.m. going, yeah, by 8. It's good. By 8, you're all going to be soaked. It was amazing.
Sometimes in the weather game, Danny, you just get that feeling in your gut.
Yeah.
You just got to go with it.
Yeah, it's getting arrogant now. Good news, guys. I went to a barbecue at a friend's house yesterday, a friend with a huge garden full of wonder and excitement for my 2.5-year-old son. There are pigs and a wibbly-wobbly bridge over a fish pond and a tree house and 7 little dogs who chased him around and knocked him over and licked him as he giggled and giggled. And I realised he needs more fun activity time. So, you know, the next time we go away, rather than the fancy hotel, I'm thinking that popular indoor and outdoor recreational holiday you can do in Britain. Now, you may have heard Dave there just going, oh. Well, when I first mentioned its name, Dave genuinely went misty-eyed and was lost in his memories, even going so far as to call it magical. At which point there was a pause and everyone laughed because I thought I was pretty much taking my son to a big greenhouse near Nottingham. Still, if it's magical, I'm inical. And that's my good news this morning.
XFM.
So Dave has lined up someone on the telephone for us to talk to. We don't know who it is. We have to guess who it might be. Now, it'll be someone who over the last week or so has in some way or form been talked about here on the XFM Breakfast Show. Could have been a news story, could have been a survey, something scientific. We just don't know. And we will have 60 seconds to try and establish who this person might be. So no clues, Dave. Just the fact that we talked about this person in the last week.
Yeah, I think that's all you need.
Okay. What have we talked about this week? What have we talked about? Well, let's get the appropriate music first of all. And let's do the thing. Guess who? Well, I'm struggling to think. There's the swearing. We talked about status quo, of course.
Yeah, it could be Parfit or Rossi. I mean, could that be Parfit or Rossi. Quite a coup, wouldn't it?
Oh, what a coup. But we have had Danny DeVito in the past.
Yeah.
We just don't know at this stage. So 60 seconds on the clock. Is the caller ready? He is or she is? Is it he?
I'm not telling you. You'll figure that out quite quickly.
That'll be my first question, to be honest. It usually is. Right, here we go then. Start the timer. Caller, are you there?
I am indeed.
It is. It's a man. Now, caller.
Oh, no, it's not.
Oh, that's what Danny DeVito did. Yeah. Are you Danny DeVito?
No.
No, all right, fair enough. Are you in Britain?
I am.
Have you been in a news story this week or last week? Was it this week?
This week, yes.
This week, so yesterday, we only talked. What did we talk about yesterday?
What did we do? It's about like things your granddad did. That was.
It's not my granddad.
It's not your granddad.
Are you a granddad?
No, I'm not.
Right, so it wasn't someone who texted in. Is it a scientific survey or scientific thing?
No, I wouldn't say it is.
Is it? Was it an advertising thing? We talked about advertising at one point.
There has been some advertising.
Is it a product?
To do with a product, yes.
It's
to do with a product. Then, caller, would you please reveal who you are and why you're on the show?
If I was to say the word cuprinol...
Oh! I know who it is! Did you win Shed of the Year?
Wow.
I am Shed... The winner of Shed of the Year, yes.
Excellent work. I've just been handed some paper. Mr. Plumridge, is that you?
Correct.
Oh, Mr. Plumridge of Shrewsbury. We talked about your shed yesterday, your world-conquering shed.
What a shed.
Now, you started a pub in the shed. I'm looking at pictures of it now. The Woodhenge Pub. So you started a pub in a shed.
I have indeed, yeah. It's a little bit more than a shed. It's about 7 metres inside one way and 7 metres the other way, but it's not a square.
Yeah.
It's a heart shape. It's in the heart of my garden, which a little bit corny, but that's how it is.
It's lovely. It's like a TARDIS as well. It just looks enormous inside and yet quite small on the outside. And it says here you were lost for words after you received the coveted title. When you calmed down, what did you want to say?
I wanted to say immediately that the sponsors of the whole event, and it gets bigger and bigger each year, have been absolutely fantastic. And my feet just really haven't touched the ground. The phone hasn't stopped. But I was absolutely delighted. I didn't enter the competition to come second, and I'm glad I didn't.
No, absolutely.
But it's been absolutely marvellous.
You entered Shed of the Year to take that title home, and that's exactly what you did.
We are XFM. Danny Analytics.
So it's Danny Analytics time. Let's look back at the last 4 hours and work out what we've learned today. Well, they say success is 99% perspiration, 1% inspiration. Today's show was a success, but it was 80% hangover and 20% McMuffin. Fueled by no more than 3 hours sleep, but a heartening dedication to you, the confirmed listener. Today's show was absolutely free. Though, of course, you may want your money back. Matt.
Yeah, number crunch this then. A total of 10 hash browns were consumed in the studio this morning. And there are only 5 people in the team.
Well, do you do the math.
You've done the math. I mean, 2 each, that is.
Yeah.
In an unprecedented step, work experience Steve took it upon himself to double the dose to help ease his colleagues' hangovers. Yeah. But he did slightly ruin it, the nice gesture, by calling them browns.
Yeah.
I've got us some extra browns, he exclaimed.
Hey, guys, got us some extra browns.
A youth speak, apparently. Yeah. All the kids are dropping the hash from hash browns. Peak times, cuz.
Hashtag drop the hash brown hash.
Yeah.
Brown.
Allow it.
Allow it! Boom, boom.
We are...
So there you go. That was podcast number 49 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. And you know what that means, don't you? You know what that means, everybody. Podcast 50 next week.
Ooh.
50! Huh? Give me your thoughts.
It's
that'll do. See you next week.
Yes, we are.